Open your Bibles to the book of Philippians, the first chapter. Philippians chapter 1. If yours is a Scofield Reference Bible, that's page 1257. Starting with verse 1 of the first chapter, we'll read through verse 12. Verse 12 is the text verse for this morning's message. Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 through 12. And let's stand, please, as is our custom here, for the reading of God's Word. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. Let's pray. Father, we're so grateful to be a part of this service this morning. We anxiously await the preaching of your word. That's what it's all about. Of course, we're thankful for the song service. We're thankful for just the fellowship that we experience here. We thank you for the unity of this body of believers. We thank you for the thrill, for the blessing of it all. But your word is about to be preached. There's nothing more important in all the world than that which is happening in these moments. We pray that you'd speak to our hearts. We pray that our hearts would be tender toward thee and toward thy word, and give, we pray, that which our preacher needs. In Jesus' name, amen.
Morning on the subject, take it from here and run with it. Just take it from here and run with it. The text verse, you need not turn to it, but I want to read it for you. It says, But I would, you should understand, brethren, that the things which have happened unto me have fallen out rather under the furtherance of the gospel. Paul said, I'm in jail. Can't do anything about it. Can't get out. I'm in jail. But he said, I'll tell you what, I'm going to use this jail for the furtherance of the gospel. I'm going to take it from right here where I am, and I'm going to run with it, and I'm not going to let this cause me to stumble, but rather I'm going to use it for the furtherance of the gospel. Now, you're going to have to listen to me very carefully. I'm going to say something, things this morning that will apply to everybody in this room. Our backgrounds are different. This morning, if all the history of the people in this room were written, it'd be as many different histories as we have people. Some of you this morning have lived wicked lives. You've lived in sin. You say, preacher, what can I do? You can take it from here and run with it. Some of you this morning have illness. You say, what can I do? You can take it from here and run with it. Paul said, I'm in jail, but I'm going to use whatever's happened to me for the furtherance of the gospel. Father, bless the message this morning. May I have the attention of the people, please. Not only may they watch, but may they hear. Not only may they hear, but may they listen. And listening, respond. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul never said that he preferred to be in jail. In fact, we won't turn to it, but in verse 7 of chapter 1 of Philippians, he said to these lovely people, I'm thinking of you. He said in verses to follow, you're in my heart. He said, I long after you, or I long to be with you. He said, I want to see you. But he said, I cannot see you. I'm in jail. I'm hundreds of miles away. And I'm going to take it from here and use whatever has happened to me up to now for the furtherance of the gospel. Now, listen carefully. Suppose for a minute that Job had started a church in the land of Uz. Suppose that Job had remained healthy all of his life. And suppose that Job had built a great church there in the land. And suppose that thousands had come to hear him preach. And suppose his children had grown to ripe old age. And suppose that Job had never known one day of bad health. And suppose that Job had never lost a loved one in death. And suppose that Job's wife had stayed faithful all the way to the end. And suppose that Job's friends had come to him and stood beside him. We would have missed the great riches of the book of Job. Suppose for a few minutes that the widow who gave her two mites had been a well-to-do Christian lady. Suppose she'd have had a prayer breakfast in her home and a Bible study in her home. Or suppose that she had been a Sunday school teacher, and suppose that she had had a beautiful house and a happy family and a nice wardrobe. We would have missed the great lesson of a little widow giving her two mites to our God. Suppose for a few minutes that Fanny Crosby had been a normal person. Suppose that she had never been blind. Suppose that she had been able to see all of her life and been a happy, normal person all of her life. We would not have blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Suppose for a few minutes that Zacchaeus had been an average-sized man. We wouldn't have that amazing story in Luke chapter 19 about the conversion of Zacchaeus. Suppose for a few minutes that John Bunyan had been a successful preacher, pastor in the country of England. And suppose that John Bunyan had been a respected man of God who had a good church on a street corner in a thriving, growing neighborhood or development of suburbia in a city of England somewhere. And suppose that John Bunyan had not spent 12 years in jail in the Bedford prison. And suppose that John Bunyan had never gone through the persecution. We would not have had Pilgrim's Progress. Suppose for a few minutes that Naaman had been healthy and not a leper. Think what we would have missed from the Bible. Suppose for a few minutes that Paul had never suffered. Suppose that Paul had never been in prison. We would not have the great truths that Paul gives us in his prison epistles. Suppose for a few minutes that John had been a respected pastor. Suppose that Ephesus, a church that he pastored, had continued to grow, and John had become well-respected and beloved in the city of Ephesus. And suppose that John had not been exiled to the Isle of Patmos. And suppose that John had lived a normal, respectful, respected, happy life there in Ephesus. We would not have had the great truth of Revelation. We would not have been, revealed to us the great book of the Revelation. I'm saying, suppose, for example, that David, now don't be upset with me here now, but suppose that David had never sinned. Suppose that David had never taken a day off from the fighting. Suppose that David had never looked out his window and seen Bathsheba bathing. Suppose that David had never taken Bathsheba to himself. And suppose that David had remained pure and spotless all of his life. We would not have that great 51st Psalm. Where David said, restore to me the joy of thy salvation, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Let's suppose for a few minutes that my daddy had been a sober man all his life. Suppose that my daddy had been a sober, continued to be a businessman in Italy, Texas, a little grocery store that mother and dad used to own in Italy, Texas. And suppose that the Depression had not taken all that they had. And suppose they had built a great thriving store. And dad had become a rather well-to-do man in Italy, Texas. And I had grown up in a home with my own bedroom and carpet on the floor And I had had nice clothes to wear. And suppose that my dad had never smoked a cigarette or taken a drink of liquor. Those bus kids wouldn't be here this morning. I mean, I would not be standing here before you this morning. And these Bible club kids would not be here this morning. I'm saying, let's suppose, for example, you said, Brother Hiles, are you saying that it was best that David sinned? No, I'm not saying it's best that David sinned. But, brother, if you sin, take it from here and use what's happened to you to help you in the future. Let's suppose for a few minutes, if you please, that Jonah had obeyed the first time. Suppose that Jonah had gone to Nineveh the first time that God spoke to him and had the great revival in Nineveh. And let's suppose that Jonah had done the will of God and had never left and gone down to Joppa and taken off for Tarshish on the ship and had never been cast overboard, never been swallowed by the whale. Let's suppose that that had happened. We would have missed the great story of God's protection of Jonah. Let's suppose for a few minutes that the prodigal son had been a good kid. Let's suppose the prodigal son had obeyed his mom and dad, or his dad. Let's suppose for a while he had not gone into the far country. We would have missed that wonderful little illustration of the love of God and God's willingness to forgive us and God's willingness to take us back and use us again in spite of our unwillingness to take each other back. Let's suppose for a few minutes that Jacob had stayed at home. Suppose that Jacob had never left the will of God and gone down to Haran for 20 years. Let's suppose that Jacob had stayed where he ought to have stayed in the will of God. We would never have had Jacob's ladder. We would never have had the Bethel experience in the Bible. Let's suppose, for example, that Evangelist Joe Boyd had been a model kid. Let's suppose that when he was a young man, though he was not a model kid, he belonged to the Britton Street gang in our area. That was the wickedest gang you ever saw in your life, and I was scared to death of him, but worshipped the guy. Anyway, because he was the hero, athletic hero of our neighborhood. But let's suppose that Joe Boyd was a model kid. Let's suppose when Joe Boyd was 9 years old, he went soul winning with his dad. Let's suppose that Joe Boyd had never taken drink and never gone into sin. Let's suppose that Joe Boyd had lived a model life all of his life and never gone into athletics and become an All-American football player. We wouldn't have the Joe Boyd we have today. You say, Brother House, are you advocating a young person to go into sin? I'm not advocating anybody to go into sin, but I am advocating if you have been in sin, you can take it from here and use what you've had for the glory of God. Let's suppose for a few minutes that Mel Trotter had not been a drunkard. Mel Trotter, a man over here in Chicago, gone to the bottom, stole clothes from his wife and took the clothes and furniture from his own house and stole it and sold it so he could buy liquor. His baby became ill. His baby died. Mel Trotter tiptoed into where his baby was. The body of his baby was lying in state and took the shoes off the body of his dead baby and went down and sold those shoes in order to buy himself some liquor. And one day he said, I'll end it all. Went down the Chicago River to jump in and commit suicide. While he was going down, he heard some people singing. A little group of Christians were singing gospel songs on the street. Don't ever sell short the street services, brother. And Mel Trotter stopped to hear what was going on. And he heard the gospel of a God that would save him. And a God that would forgive him. And a God that could reclaim him. And a God that could use him. And Mel Trotter got saved, went back home. And all across this great Midwestern area, rescue missions have been started by Mel Trotter. And all across the country, his influence has been felt. Now suppose that Mel Trotter had always been sober. Suppose he'd never been a drunkard. You say, Brother House, are you advocating becoming a drunkard? You think I ought to go out of here and get drunk and become an alcoholic so I get right with God and start rescue? No, I'm not. I'm simply saying if you are a drunkard or you have been a drunkard, take it from here. God can use your past and God can use you. Take it from here and run with it. Let's suppose for a few minutes. Let's get a little personal. Let's suppose for a few minutes this church had known no battles in the last 2 years. Let's suppose nobody had attacked us. Let's suppose no liars had spread untruths about the pastor and leadership and members of this church. Let's suppose we had not had to battle and fight to stay alive in the last 2 years. I guarantee you, this church would not be as close together today as she is right now. You're saying, Brother House, are you advocating battles? No, sir, I'm not. I told Brother Olaf one time, he wanted to be in the Fox's Book of Martyrs. I wanted to be in the Guinness Book of Records. I've never wanted to die a martyr's death.
I told Brother Olaf, I said, if a bullet came through this room, you'd jump in front of it. I would not hide inside the pulpit. That's why this thing is bulletproof here right now. But I'm simply saying, I don't like battles. But if you're in a battle in God's name, use it for the furtherance of the gospel. Take it from here and run with it. Use what you've got. Use your past. Use what's from up to here and run with it. Let's suppose for a few moments that my mama had had 4 healthy children. Let's suppose that her first baby had not been afflicted. Let's suppose that little Loreen could have walked. Let's suppose that little Loreen could have talked. Let's suppose that Hazel had lived and not died at the age of 7 with an after effect of the measles. Let's suppose that my father had been a model husband. Let's suppose, for example, that my mother had not known a drunkard husband, had not known the death of her firstborn, had not known the death of her mother when she was 9 years of age, had not known the death of her second child, had not known the throes of an awful depression, hadn't had to work for 50 cents a day to feed her boy. Let's suppose for a few moments that my mother had a happy, nice little home and a cottage of her own instead of moving at least once every 9 months all the time my sister and I were growing up. Let's suppose my mother would not have been the great woman that she was. And I'll guarantee you, I would not be a preacher today. You say, are you advocating, Brother Hiles, poverty? Are you advocating a depression? Are you advocating you praying will lose a child? No, I'm not. I'm advocating whatever has happened to you. You don't quit. You use it for the furtherance of the gospel. Take it from here and run with it. Let's suppose for a few minutes that Dr. Bill Rice had had a normal daughter. Let's suppose little Betty had been able to hear instead of losing her hearing because of high temperature, I think caused by meningitis, if I remember correctly. Let's suppose little Betty Rice could have heard. Dr. Bill Rice would not have started the great work that he started with the deaf. My good friend of many years who's in heaven right now. Are you saying, Brother Hiles, are you saying I ought to pray that my daughter will get deaf? I'm not saying you ought to want your daughter to get deaf. I'm not saying that you ought to want to be poor. I'm not saying that you ought to want battles. I'm simply saying wherever you are now, if you're poor, if you have a deaf child, if your husband's left you, if somebody, your mate has divorced you, if your child has broken your heart, I'm simply saying wherever you are right now, Paul said, here I am, I sit in prison. I'd like to be in Philippi. I long for you folks back home, but here I am, and I'm not going to sit here and bemoan whatever I am and bemoan and complain about what I'm doing and what's happened to me. I'm going to use the fact that I'm in prison for the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You better thank God that He did. Because right there in that very prison, He won folks to Jesus Christ in Rome. And from that prison in Rome, the gospel spread all over Europe. And from Europe, the gospel came to the shores of the United States of America. And you and I got saved because the Apostle Paul said, I'm going to take it from here and run with it. Suppose for a minute that Mrs. Tom Williams had never become ill. Suppose for a minute that she had never had that terrible illness and Brother Tom had not had to sit beside her day and night and nurse her as a nurse would nurse a little baby who was ill. Teach her how to walk again and how to talk again. Let's suppose we would never have had the great Tom Williams story. Okay, look at me. So you're short. Okay, so you're deaf. Use it. Okay, so you've ruined your life. I mean, you've absolutely blown it. Okay, then spend the rest of your life teaching other folks not to blow it. Look, I'm not suggesting a ruined life. I am suggesting that God can use a past of a ruined life. Okay, so you're divorced. You never thought that name, that word, to be associated with beside your name. Okay, you're divorced. It's over. It's granted. It's gone. There's nothing you can do. Well, bless God, take it and run with it. Okay, so you're blind. You can't do anything about it. Use it. Okay, so you've sinned. Don't spend the rest of your life moping. God's forgiven you. He's covered it with His own blood. He's hidden it and separated from you as far as the east is from the west. I'm not advocating sin, but I am saying I don't care what you have in your past. You can use it for the glory of Almighty God. Okay. So you're crippled. Use it. Okay. See, a child has broken your heart. Use it. Paul said, I've been imprisoned. I've been shipwrecked. I've been beaten. I've been left for dead. And in fact, he was dead at one time and came back to life. I've been killed. But Paul said, everything that's happened to me, bless God, I'm not going to sit back and have a pity party. He said, I'm going to use it for the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I don't care what's happened to you, there's some way that your past can be used for the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He said, well, I was a fallen woman. My past haunts me. Don't let it haunt you. Let it help you. There are fallen women all over Chicago, all over Hammond. Go down here on Skid Row in Chicago, or go down here on State Street in Calumet City. Walk up to some woman who's a fallen woman. Put your arm around her and say, I know how you feel. I know how hungry you are. I'd love to tell you about Jesus and what He's done for me. Okay, so your husband left you. Use it. Okay, so you're sick. Okay, so you're poor. I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not advocating sin. I'm not advocating a desire to be persecuted. I'm advocating none of it. I do not want to suffer. I don't want to fight. I don't want to be fought. I don't want to hurt. I don't want to go to jail. I don't want to be sick. But bless God, whatever happens to me, God tells me it can be used. You've heard me tell about this little lady. Perfect illustration. Down in Texas, I went by one Thursday or Friday afternoon, saw a lady working the flower bed. I walked up to her. I said, my name is Brother Hiles. I'm pastor of Miller Road Baptist Church up here on Miller Road and 15th Street. She said, my name is Nell DeBord, D-E-B-O-R-D, Nell DeBord. And I said, Mrs. DeBord, did you know if you died, you'd go to heaven? She said, no. I there said, standing in the flower bed, I told Nell DeBord the most wonderful story ever heard or told, and she received Christ as her Savior. She said, my husband Jake is not saved. Would you come back tonight and tell Jake what you just told me? I went back that night. She was washing dishes back in the kitchen. And those days, no dishwashers and no all this extra stuff. And so she had her hands down and suds were all over the dishes. And she was washing her hands. And I walked in and I said, Jake, I'm Brother Hiles. I just told Nell a story today, and something happened to her. She's received Christ as her Savior. And I said, Jake, she wants you to do the same thing. And I told Jake DeBord the wonderful story of Christ. And Jake DeBord bowed his head and began to pray. And when he began to pray the sinner's prayer, Nell DeBord came unscrewed, and super suds came all the way in the living room. And Jake got saved just a few days after that. Just a few days after that. It was Christmas time. It was Christmas Eve, I think. Yes, it was Christmas Eve. They had a little boy named David, 15 months old. Little David became ill. Wasn't very sick, they thought, just the usual little cold or something. But since it was Christmas, Nell decided to take David to the doctor. She took David to the doctor. She got out of the car, picked little 15-month-old David up, took him to the doctor's office, and as she was walking up the steps, before she opened the door, little David died in his mother's arms. Word came to me that Jake and Nell DeBord's little boy, David, had died. And I thought, oh my soul, they haven't been saved but a few days. I went to that house, and there was the Christmas tree. And there were the toys around the Christmas tree. And there was the fruit and the nuts and all the rest of it around the Christmas tree. And I said, Nell and Jake, God can use this. And Nell said, God's going to use it. The next day after little David was buried, Nell got the local paper and she checked the obituary column and she checked every death in that column to see if there was any child that had died. And for the last years, I was in that church, and Elder Board went to every parent in our area who lost a little child and told them how that God had saved her soul. And she used it. Am I suggesting your little baby died? No, I'm suggesting if he has died, God can use it if you'll use it to take it from here and go on. You've heard me tell that wonderful story about that church in the south where I was. I was walking down the aisle over here. Building was about the size of these two center sections. There was a wall over here, outside wall. And I looked over here and I saw a man. Very nice looking middle-aged man. Well-dressed. Man with diamond rings and so forth. He walked over to me and I said, "How do you do?" And he said, And I said, "Sir, I'm sorry. I don't understand what you're saying." And the pastor rushed over to me and said, "Let me tell you what he's saying. He's saying what he says to every preacher that comes to this church." You see, Brother Howells, this man was a preacher. But this man left the ministry and gave his life into sin. And his life was wrecked and ruined. And he said, every time a preacher comes to this church who hasn't been here, that man comes to that preacher and says, "Keep living a decent life and don't go into sin and keep on preaching and preach all the way to the end. This guy can't preach anymore and he's lost his voice and God has punished him and all he can like that." But bless God, he used it to warn other preachers to stay clean and walk with God. Take it from here. Young man goes to the eye doctor. The eye doctor says, "There's something wrong with one of your eyes. We'll have to have a checkup. And they say there's a little tumor of some kind back in there. We'll have to take it out." Young man goes to surgery. Doctor says, "You'll either wake up with an eye that's all right and normal, or you'll wake up blind." Listen to me now. No talking, please. He said, you wake up either blind or you'll be able to see again." When he woke up from surgery, the doctor looked at him and said, "There was cancer. We've had to remove so much of your eye. You'll never see again with that eye." That young man put a patch on his eye and became Patch the Pirate. What am I saying? Okay, you blew it. Use it. David did. Okay. Life hasn't treated you right. Use it. Paul said, "I want to be in Philippi. I'd rather be there with you. I long for you. I miss you. I love you. I want to see you. But I'm not there. I can't get there. I'm here. I can't get from here. So I'll just win the whole Roman Empire to Christ while I'm here." I was in Philadelphia area, the then Salem Baptist Church. Young pastor there. I'm young to me. I'm guessing at the time he was about 40 years old or so. I'd been there many times. Dr. Rice and I had been there, I think, 10 or 12 times. But we became close to each other. That time I was much younger than now. And this fellow named Dan Parr said, "Brother Howells, could I drive you to room tonight?" I'll never forget when he drove me back to the George Washington Motel there in Bensalem, Pennsylvania. We sat out in front of my room in the car. And he said, "Brother Howells, I've got something I want to share with you. I want you to pray with me." He said, "I've just discovered I have cancer. I went to my dentist," he said, "and the dentist discovered something wrong in my throat. I've got cancer of the throat." He said, "There's a chance I'll never preach again after surgery." And then the day came when the doctor said, "You don't have many months to live." That man was put in a hospital dying with cancer. 105 degrees. What did he do? Escape the hospital. Get on the airplane. Oxygen bottle beside him and in his nose and needles in his arms. And flew to Hammond, Indiana. And spoke at pastor school with 105 temperature. And 55 grown men surrendered themselves to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And some are here this morning and some are pastoring churches around America at this moment. Why? He took it where he was and ran with it. Where are you? In a hospital room? Use it for the furtherance of the gospel. Have you wasted half your life? Use it for the furtherance of the gospel, the other half of your life. Oh, by the way, Mrs. Parr, when Dan went to heaven, I preached a funeral sermon. This morning, Mrs. Parr didn't fold up her tent, didn't give up. In mid-years, with grown children, Mrs. Parr is on a mission field at this very moment, serving God for the rest of her life. An old story with an added twist. I was preaching in southern Illinois. My mother was living over here in Calumet City with my sister. I called Mother and said, "Mother, I'm going to southern Illinois tonight. Won't you go with me? It'll be about a 5-hour drive, and I'll drive back during the night." And my mother said, "Son, I'd love to go." We drove, stopped, got about to eat on the way down. And I preached down in southern Illinois. Drove back through the night. It's getting close to midnight, I guess. Mother had her head like that, and I thought she was asleep. She was already about 90 years of age. And all of a sudden, I heard her. And I said, "Mama, are you crying?" I said, "What's wrong, Mama?" And my little mother shot me down to my boots. She looked over to me and she said, "Son, I was just thinking, I wish your daddy and I could have had a preacher like you." She said, "Son, if your daddy and I had a preacher like you, I believe I could have kept him. I didn't know that my main responsibility in life was my husband. I honestly thought the children ought to come first." She said, "We lived in little one-room places, and I wasn't as affectionate to your daddy as I should have been because I didn't want to. I thought maybe you kids might see things you shouldn't see. Nobody ever had a better mother than I did. Nobody." She said, "Son, I believe I could have kept your daddy if I'd had a preacher like you. We didn't have a preacher like you to tell us and teach us like you teach." She said, "You wouldn't have had to go through all you went through as a boy if we'd had a preacher like you." She said, "Son, I'm sorry." And I reached over and pulled my mother to my shoulder as I drove down the highway, wee hours now. And I said, "Mother, I wouldn't trade you for anybody." I said, "Mama, let me ask you a question. The day that Daddy left, I was asleep, and you came to the foot of my bed. You thought I was sleeping anyway. But I woke up, and I saw you kneeling there at the foot of my bed. And you were praying." I said, "Mama, what were you praying?" And my 90-year-old mother said, "Son, I was praying this prayer. Dear God, I'll never have a chance to be a good wife. But I'm still a mother. And I'm going to give all I've got to rear this boy. Dear God, please call him to preach. I promise you, I'll train him. And you call him." And she said, "That's what I prayed." What was my mama doing? She was taking it from here and running with it. You reckon maybe if you haven't been a good wife and your marriage is blown because you weren't a good wife, you reckon maybe you couldn't train some young people not to do what you did? I'm a little disgusted about people that say, "Well, what right's he got to say that? He never was a..." Well, anybody's got a right to say anything if it's Bible. Take it from here! I don't know what your background is, but I know what your front ground can be. Run with it. Suppose Paul had been married. Suppose Paul had had some children. Suppose Paul had been a pastor of a successful suburbia church. Suppose Paul had never been in prison. But Paul was in prison. And Paul never married. And Paul had no children. And Paul had no happy home. And Paul had no happy marriage. And Paul went from town to town getting persecuted and beaten and put in jail. And Paul is saying, "I don't like it. It's not what I want.
But I'm going to take it from here. I'm going to take it from here. Everything that's happened to me in the last 5 years, I would not have chosen. But bless God, I don't know what you're going to do. I'm going to take it from here. And I'm going to use the things that have fallen out in my life as best I can for the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Just take it from here and run with it. Our Heavenly Father.